You know when the banjos are popping, it's the first full-filled event of the year in 2024, and needless to say, the big guy is ready to play some classic golf, a.k.a. kicking the nuts. I don't give a shit because a few times this year, I'm going to kick it in the nuts, and that's all I need to justify the swift kick in the dick that Classic can give you every week. What's up, new guy? My name's James, better known as the Degenerate 75. I'm a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at DFS by spoiling the secret of DFS called This Shit Be a Real, Real Hard. And if you think that you're going to do it with somebody else's picks and plays, well, good luck. Enjoy being broke in 2 months. But if you want to try this little thing called doing your own shit, forming your own process, and becoming your own person, well, then you might have just found the right stream. I hope you hang around for the next hour. I encourage you to, you know, come check out this schedule because I do the show every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. That's in the Lord's time zone. I also do a show called The Showdown Hoedown every Friday and Saturday night for round 3 and round 4 golf. It is the best. Showdown, PGA Showdown is such a better burn than kicking the nuts because, like, a lot of times by kicking the nuts, you're dead. You're never dead at Showdown, you mother father. Also, I do a preview show every Monday with Tambo. We rotate that between my station and the Ship It station. And, of course, coming in February, the big guy is adding NASCAR to the docket because why the fuck not? That's why, oh, already cussing, you need to know up front, guys. If you're like, hey, man, why the hell did YouTube just recommend you to me? I don't even know what the hell PGA DFS is. I get it, man. I used to know nothing about PGA. I mean, nothing. And I'm not trying to get these slapdicks to just pass around from tout site to tout site to come watch me. I want to get you, new guy who doesn't know shit about PGA DFS. I want you to learn how to play. It is the most beautiful, best DFS burn you can have is PGA. And look, right here on my website, I have these things, these little videos that just break down the most basic stuff, like what's a birdie, what's an eagle, how the scoring works, all of the most basic stuff that you don't even know to get over the intimidation. So when you hear these people saying all these terms, you're not like, I can't even keep up with this. And I am giving two of you for free. My editor, they will be in the description of this video if you're watching the replay later. Next time, be here live, new guy. And they also, the editor's going to drop them in the chat right now. They're just yours to watch. They break down Showdown. They break down just general week-long and the strategy just to help you not be so intimidated by it, okay? I want to grow this community, unlike the slapdicks in it. All right. Also, new guy, hit the like. For every 100 likes we get, we are going to be giving away a ticket that you will build with me. We will split the profits 50-50. Yes, I do return DMs because I'm, like, not famous and stuff, so I, like, check my DMs and, like, will return them, okay? In a timely manner because, you know, lock's pretty fucking soon, bub. So, the other thing you need to know is I'm giving away two tickets tonight. Two one-and-done tickets into the PME Open, which has $80,000 up top that you and I will split. I've already bought them. I've already paid for them. They're sitting there booked. You win a ticket. We will split it for the next 30 weeks, and whatever we win, I will split with you 50-50. We're giving away two of those. One for everybody that liked and retweeted over on Twitter, and one from the chat tonight. So, make sure you ask up to two questions. You ask more than two, I'm booting your ass. I've got the editor on full boot-their-ass mentality tonight, you motherfathers. All right, let's get going. The first thing you need to know, the big guy has a problem saying fuck. I've already said like three of them. I probably have already said more than that, but I'm only counting three. And every week I will draw from this chat over here and you can play me 1v1 for all the money in that till. This past week I played BMAC, my dude who's been with me from day one. What do you think, Teddy?
Pay that man his money.
I think so, Teddy. I think we're going to pay BMAC. He beat me fair and square. I will say for a dude who has been a longtime follower, the fact that he would beat me with Donkey Dick Chuck Morikawa, that hurts, BMAC. That hurts. That one hurts, all right? But I'll get over it. I'll get over it. Congratulations to him. We will be he didn't want the money. He just wanted to build a ticket with me, so that's what we're going to do. Me and BMAC are doing it. Congratulations on the win. You got lucky. Morikawa sucks. Okay. I got a simple question for you, new guy. We always like to start the show with this question, and I hope you answer it right because most new guys don't. Have you made your lineups yet? You have. Don't lie to me, new guy. Everybody makes their lineups, right? Especially with it going off in Hawaii with the late lock time. We really need to get the most updated ownership, the most updated weather before we get committed to these players. You're getting, oh, I got my picks and my plays and they mean so much to me. But like, if the weather changes in the next 12 hours, you need to be able to get off your shitty picks and just learn how to play the game. This is why you do not make your lineups until you watch this show. What if you're just absolutely in love with somebody and come to find out he's going to be 35% owned? Do you really want to play him at 35% owned? I mean, other than Morikawa's luck sacking piece of shit ass. But other than that, do you want to play him? I don't think so. So you don't make your lineups until you watch this. Let's start what we always do with contest selection. And first of all, you think I'm going to do a contest selection here and not shit on DraftKings? All right, I got a big wig over at DraftKings who slips into my DMs. I know he's watching right now. I'm just going to call him C. Okay, C, you know I'm talking to you. Did you see the big $5 contest you had up today? It was $150,000, 150 max, with 25,000 to first. So that was only 17% to first. Where's it at? Where's it at, C? Where's it at? It's not up there because it's already full like 75 hours before lock. Learn how to size your contests. When you build well-structured contests, especially at a reasonable buy-in like $5, that thing could have easily been $250,000, still keep it at $25,000 to first, and it would have filled no problem. But instead, we got this $150,000 that's now locked 14 hours early, and now we can't get in it. Learn what people want. They want well-structured contests. They don't want this piece of shit $20 contest where the third goes to first. I know you got to have it for the big wigs and the 150 maxers, but don't nerf the $5 because of that. Make the $5 even bigger and keep that flat payout structure. I'm talking to you, C, and I know you're watching. All right. He knows. I think he likes me. He always returns my DMs. I think we're friendly. Maybe not after that. All right. After some tournaments. All right. You want to know what's good tournaments? The $3 20 max is always a good tournament. But once again, do you really think you're going to beat 24,000 people even with 20 entries? That's not very good. That's only about a 1 in 1,200 chance of winning that. But I will tell you, I like the payout structure on those. What you really want to do, what I like to do the most, is I really like to find the tournaments like that that are just smaller. Like, you know my baby right here. I'm always going to pump it up. The $10 18 max that they made for me. It has a flat payout structure, and you only got to beat 3,500 people. And when you factor in that you have 18 of those lineups, you really have about a less than 1 in 200 shot of winning this thing, right? That's like actual something that can happen every couple of years, right? So these are the kind of contests I preach. They have they got the secondary $5 up. Just insulting. Okay, this could have just all been added to the other one. I'm talking to you, you mother father. The $1 20 entry is a really good way to get your feet wet, learn how to build a player pool, get your exposures right. For just $20, you can do this. But I will tell you, once again, not easy to beat 23,000 people. Well, that's going to be a common narrative tonight, okay? And the best thing I can tell you is, guys, just try playing a contest that have less than 1,000 people in it. I know you're never going to win like $10,000, but let me go ahead and tell you a secret. You probably ain't going to win $10,000 anyways, so you might as well get in contests that can be sustainable. You can have a good sweat, and you can learn how to play the game. Quit playing in these giant lotteries where like 10 or 15 really good pros who actually know how to win at this stuff are putting 150 lineups in there, out-leveraging you and having better projections than you, and go get into small, well-structured contests, usually under 1,000 people. You're going to see way less pros in those, and even if you do, at least you can match how many entries they have, if it's a single entry, a 3-max, a 5-max, whatever the tournament may be, okay? Contest selection is the first place you're blowing money, new guy. Quit doing it. But of course, the one contest you should definitely get in is mine. Go get in right now. The Showdown Hoedown Listener League. It was a little slow filling last week. Make the big guy a little nervous, all right? Go get in it. Go fill it up. It is a $5 3-max flat payout structure, everything you need. It is a great contest, and I want to grow it, so get this filled quickly. Editor's going to drop it right here in the chat. Make sure to do it. Don't make me be that guy on Twitter tomorrow and be like, hey, baby, I need you to sign up for my contest. Quick shout-out to last week's winner, Zach Amu. I know that, mother father. I Batman. And Capstone, 3 mother fathers in the top 4 flying the flag. You don't mind. We don't hate it. We don't hate it. Guy in the back, do we hate that? That's right. I fed him yesterday. He's fired up tonight. Yeah, he's on one. What the hell are you doing? Anyways, so congratulations to all our winners. I appreciate it. Let's get to the next thing. New guy, second question, chance at redemption. What is the single most important thing at PGA DFS? And always the first thing we check, because we're not poor and we don't use WinFinder. That's right. I gave it away with a WinFinder joke, didn't I? That's right. We checked the weather. And guys, the first thing you need to know with weather this week is we are back to a full-filled event. That means 144 players. Last week, we only had 59 players, so everybody basically just played at the same time. This week, they have to do waves, okay? Yes, I get waves. It's a pun. They're in Hawaii. Ha ha. Funny. But anyway, thank you. So here's what I'll tell you. They have this thing called the PM-AM wave and the AM-PM. Tomorrow, some guys are going to go off in the morning, and then that'll be half the field, 72 players, and the other 72 will go off in the afternoon, right? And then Friday will be the exact opposite. So those guys that go out Thursday morning will go out Friday afternoon. And those guys that go out Thursday afternoon will go out Friday morning, right? So this is called your AM-PM or your PM-AM splits. And so with that, weather becomes particularly important, because if we see a distinctive weather edge for the first 2 days, it can really determine how we play and can gain us a real edge. And I'll show you some data on how predicting the weather correctly can really change your PGA DFS success. So first of all, just know the big guy's not a poor. He can afford the $18.99 a year to give you guys actual weather projections. I actually even have a weather guy hired over at my site. No big deal. I'm not bragging or anything, okay? And here's what I got for weather. Well, first of all, we got to look at Thursday. And this course, if you don't know, when it's windy and it's rainy, it actually has some teeth. Like, it can stand up to these guys a little bit when you have those. And it's a par 70. And if you take out the two easy par fives, this course has some teeth to it, right? So be watching out for that. If you look at ECMF, Eric Cole, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Every Country Makes Weather Projections, they seem to be saying that it is going to be pretty gusty tomorrow, right? Less so in the morning and then picking up throughout the afternoon. Why does that matter? Well, first of all, wind makes golf harder. Second of all, wind makes greens drier, right? And it also makes it harder to shape your shots, right? Well, maybe easier to shape your shots if you're me, because now my draws just go straight left. It works well for me. So what we need to know is when there's consistent weather all day, right? When you see like it's going to be blowing all day, does that give an edge to anybody else? Well, I think that Thursday, I would probably want the morning guys, right? From the earliest they go out right around 7 a.m. local time. They are going to be out there. It's already going to be 70 degrees and the wind will be the lowest. It will be all day and the greens will be the least chewed up that they will be all day. Now, I will tell you, I don't think Thursday is going to be a day that these guys are exactly nuking this course, especially when you look at the NAM projections and they have rain on and off all day. So there is a chance at sprinkled showers throughout the day. And when this course gets windy and a little rainy, it get a little tough, Bob. So what I'm saying is Thursday morning, I would give a slight edge to those morning guys than the afternoon guys, right? Just looking at this, okay? Now, when you look at Eric Cole Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they have Friday afternoon getting particularly gusty, right? They have it getting up to 19 sustained 30-mile-an-hour gust with greens that will probably be crusty by that point. That is not when you want your guys out there, right? I would be terrified of having my guys out there Thursday afternoon, okay? Because if those projections come out, and over at my site, we're going to look at them again in the morning and get the most updated projections as we have the late lock tomorrow, right? But if these are the actual projections and we're seeing 19-mile-an-hour sustained winds with 30-mile-an-hour gusts, that's going to be trouble, Bob. That's going to be trouble. And I would really be leery of playing Thursday afternoon guys, which would be our PMAM guys. Now, on the flip side of that, if you go over and you look at Friday, well, you can see, first of all, Eric Cole Monday, Wednesday, Friday saying it's going to be pretty steady all day. So if you just look at this, if you're an Eric Cole Monday, Wednesday, Friday guy, I think you distinctly want to go AM, PM, guys, because you're going to get the better conditions on Thursday, and it looks the same on Friday. But when you look at NAM is saying that it's actually going to be pretty nice Friday morning. And those look like the nutted conditions, especially the guys that go out later on Friday. The very latest morning guys, right? So the guys that go out around 9 or 10 a.m., they're basically going to be out there with very little wind in the nutted 70-degree weather, and they're going to have soft greens, right? So it's like, what do you want? Do you want them playing in the tougher afternoon conditions and then the really soft morning conditions Friday? Well, I could see that. Or do you want them to kind of be in the medium conditions each time? Thursday morning when it's not so bad, Friday afternoon when it's not so bad. That is the dilemma we're at. But I think more than anything, what I'm really going to draw, because I think both of those things could end up being equal, and we're kind of guessing, right? This is why I'm going to wait to make my lineup till tomorrow morning. But here's what I do know. I think that the wind is going to be blowing. I do think we are going to see some sideways rain getting in your eyes and shit. And what this does is I don't think we're going to see another minus 25 winner. I don't even think we're going to see a minus 22 winner. I'm going to project that the winning score, if this weather holds up, which it looks like it's going to be pretty nice and windy every day except Sunday, I think you're going to see the winning score somewhere around minus 18 to minus 20 would be the highest I think it's going to get. And why does that matter? Because it changes the kind of golfers that I want to play, right? When you've got to get to minus 26, I just automatically X off guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick, like Brian Harman, which, by the way, Brian Harman actually did pretty good getting that low last week, but those are just guys in my head that I typically check off. But if the winning score is going to be maybe minus 18 or, hell, even as low as minus 16, those are the kind of courses where you see guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick or Brian Harman or, hell, even Corey Connors. I would never play Corey Connors at a course where you got to get to minus 26, but a course where you got to get to minus 16, Corey Connors can do that, right? So the biggest way I'm going to use the weather this week is thinking about how does it affect the kind of golfers that I want? Because if I think the winning score is going to be minus 18, that is dramatically different, right? That is more of a medium level course than the minus 24 that we have seen this course be other times when it's just a complete birdie fest. Something to consider, okay? That is how I'm playing the weather. Of course, for all my members over on the website, I will give you updated weather in the morning, and I'll be building my lineups with my big guys in the morning, all right? If you think all of this, oh, man, you talk so much about weather. Okay, first of all, don't talk like that. Second of all, it matters. We tracked this for an entire year last year. For those guys that are $7,500 or cheaper, the guys that were in the better wave last year made the cut at 55% versus the guys in the bad wave only making the cut at 44%. So if I told you you could have an 11% edge on your slapdick making the cut and not killing your 6-of-6 lineup, you wouldn't be dancing naked in the streets about that? Absolutely you would. And on the flip side of that, amazingly enough, for the studs, the guys 9,000 or more, look at the difference. A 20% difference in the amount of times that they made the cut when there was a clear weather edge, right? This is why I will be watching weather up to the last minute. And if you made me pick right now, well, I would probably just go with the Eric Cole Monday, Wednesday, Friday projections, and I'd say, give me some AM, PM, guys. I think that's going to be the better things. But I'm going to see what my weather guy does. He's putting some out tonight, and he's going to update it in the morning for me. So I'm not going with that yet because I know Hawaii weather can change. All right? So there you go. Let's get to the process tip of the week. If I'm going to be the guy that doesn't do picks and plays, you best believe I better be giving you some suggestions on how to play this little thing called the game. By the way, I see 352 people in here, only 163 likes. That's like, what, 190 dickheads. All right, let's get with it. Let's go ahead and just hit that like button, new guy. The process tip of the week is this. Learn the art of the pivot, okay? In PGA DFS, we have this thing called pivots. If you play DFS, you're probably familiar with the term pivots. That means instead of playing this guy, I'm going to play this guy. Once you get to be a little bit more advanced at this, you'll learn that the pivot term can mean instead of playing this range, I'm going to play this range, right? But basically, it means instead of usually playing something chalky, I'm going to play something less chalky. That is the general definition of what a pivot is, okay? And so often people hear me say, you know, chalk donkeys and don't play chalk donkeys and all of that, right? And so they think that pivoting means I pivot everywhere, right? Oh, this guy's 24%, never play him. This guy's 22%, never play him. You can't be that way, right? The art of the pivot is this. The answer is you never always pivot and you never, never pivot, right? If you play all the chalk all the time, it's not going to work out for you. Just like if you always fade the chalk. And remember, the reason that they're chalk is usually because they're playing well, they're a good course fit, they're coming in and good form, they have good course history, whatever it is, those are all things that lead to them being chalky, and that can correlate to success. The key is learning what pivots you're willing to make and which ones you are not, right? If there is a guy you love and he is going to be donkey chalk tonight, you do not get off of him simply because I call him donkey chalk. You have conviction in that guy and you still play him and just try to play him at a higher percentage than the rest of the field is, so you have this little thing called leverage. You got it? But for all those guys where you're kind of, I don't know if I'm in love with this guy, well, then just go play the dude that's legit 1/5 his ownership. The guy that you're kind of over is 25%, and the guy right next to him is 5%, who you also are about, well, just go take the 5%, the 5x leverage, and just go play the guy at 5%. This is the art of the pivot. Do not use pivots to get off the guys you love, but use it to play the game. I track these pivots every week. We're doing it more advanced this year. You can see it right here over my shoulder. And you can see this is what we tracked last week. We identified 4 chalk donkeys last week that we wanted to track. You can see them right there. It was Morikawa, it was Iceberg, it was Eric Soler, and it was Cam Davis, right? And you can see 2 of those guys did really well, and 2 of those guys did not do very well. We are now measuring these guys against the 4 guys immediately above them in the pricing and the 4 guys immediately below them, so long as there's no crossover. Sometimes we have to move it a little bit because their prices are too close, right? But generally speaking, that's our goal when we do our chalk donkeys. And you see Morikawa last week at a redonkulous 40% ownership, right? Whereas the guys around him averaged 11.3. The guys that we measured him at were only at 11.3. So he would need to outperform them at a 4-to-1 ratio. And let's face it, that little donkey dick did it. That little donkey dick did it, right? He got there. He of the 8 guys we compared Morikawa to, he outperformed 7 of them, right? So that chalk definitely got there, right? It definitely got there. I know I didn't play any of him. I mean, I played him at Showdown, which went well, but I did not play him at week long because I told you he's the one guy I wasn't playing. But on the flip side of that, old Iceberg, 33% owned. And the guys around him, the 8 guys we measured, were only 12% owned. So basically, you were getting a 3-to-1 ratio to go play the other guys. And he got outperformed by 6 of those 8 guys around him. For a 75% of the times, pivots beat him. Eric Cole, he did well, right? Or no, he did not do well. Wait, yes, he did well, right? He beat 6 of his 8 pivots around him, even though he was 3 times their ownership, though, but he was also 3 times outproduced them. So he really did what he needed to do. He needed to be 3x all of his pivots, and he actually ended up being 3x as he beat 6 of the 8, right? So 6-to-2 is a 3-to-1 ratio. And then lastly, old Cam Davis, what have I told you about that low 7K chalk? 24%. The average guys around him were less than 5%. That was 5-to-1 ratio you could have got if you would have just played the pivots around Cam Davis, and 75% of them, or 6 of the 8, outperformed him. So there you go. This is the art of the pivot. Last week, the right answer was to not pivot off of Morikawa, to probably not pivot off of Cole, but to definitely pivot off of Davis and Iceberg, right? And you could have pivoted off Cole or Morikawa, but there was just fewer options to be right if you pivoted off of them. Does that make sense? You've got to learn the art of the pivot. You've got to learn that you never always pivot and you never not pivot. If you can ever figure out that perfect recipe on when to pivot and who to pivot off of, that is the single biggest thing you could ever do at PGA DFS if you want to be a long-term successful player. We're all searching for it. All right, let's get over to ownership. If you don't know the big guy, he is the sweatiest tryhard when it comes to weather, when it comes to ownership, and when it comes to projections. Those are the three things I am the biggest tryhard at you will ever meet in your life, pal. And right here over my shoulder, you can see the 10 highest guys that we have projected for ownership this week. Is my ownership the best in the industry? Yeah, objectively it is. I've literally measured it. There's two others that keep up with me. But generally speaking, most of the people in this industry put out fraudulent ownership, and they charge you for it. And they honestly, it seems like it should be illegal. If you want to know who the other two are, I ain't telling you. Okay. So anyways, here you go. The top 10 most owned guys. I break these into three kinds of guys. I have donkey chalk, which means you're a donkey if you play him. And we don't play donkey chalk. What guy in the back? That's right. Except when we do. We have air chalk, which means it's getting a little high. I don't love it, but I get it. And then of course we have okay chalk, which is chalk I don't even consider chalk, but this stupid fucking industry uses the term so loosely, they don't even know what the term means. Chalk is about what your ownership is relative to the peers around you in it. It is not just a generic term of anybody over 12% is chalk. No, that's not how it works, dipshit. Okay, so here we go. Russell Henley is up first at a cool 24%. And I will tell you, you'll see when we get to this in a minute. Look at all these guys on here. What are all those guys, the first eight, all have in common? None of them are five figures. Oh, look at them. All of them are none of the high price guys. When do you ever see not one of the top four price guys be in the top eight most known? Because we know rule number one at PGA DFS, people spend their money. And when people spend their money, they're naturally just going to go click on those guys up top because it's just the easiest to spend your money that way. But shockingly enough, out of the top eight guys in my ownership this week, none of them are in the top four price guys or the guys 10,000 or over this week, which is pretty incredible. Okay. So the first guy up is Russell Henley. Russell Henley is a dude that the projections just love this week. If you don't know, a good way to estimate what ownership's going to be is projections, right? Projections, when people are just getting back into the game, they rely on projections more than normal. The content is not as heavy this time of year as it will be later in the year, so we don't have touts moving the needle as much, and projections get relied on. Let me just go ahead and tell you, my projections, I don't look at anybody else's, but I tell you my projections, they love old Russell Henley, right? They love him like he's wearing a polo. So Russell Henley coming in at a smooth 24.3%, which is actually relatively low for the highest owned person in the field. But regardless, he is head and shoulders above everybody, not only in this field, but in his range. Russell, I hate to say it, I'm left with no choice. That man, he's the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk. Except when we do, all right? There's going to be a lot of donkey chalk on this screen right here, and if you think I'm telling you to not play any of these guys, you're not listening to the message, new guy. Let's move on to old JT Poston. This one, when this week came, I was like, I'm gonna get sneaky and play JT Poston. And now I see he's the second highest owned projected guy. So that's disappointing. This is why you don't get married to guys on a Monday. You can have guys you like. You can have guys you're warm to. But if you were like, I'm playing them no matter what, I'm like, do I really want to play JT Poston, the second owned guy? Probably not, Bob. Probably not. This is why I don't marry people on Monday. I just get to know them, take them out to drink, see if we got any chemistry kind of thing, right? I'm not marrying them. So JT Poston coming in at 21%. You're going to see this a lot. I know there's a lot of guys in this 9K range that are all roughly in the same ownership range in that upper 18 or upper teen range or lower 20s. And you're like, well, then they're the same as everybody else around them. But you got to remember, they're way higher than the guys above them and way higher than the range below them. And so with that, I'm left with no choice. JT Poston, you, sir, are the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk. We don't do it, especially when they deliver mail. Moving on. I am worried for the children of Honolulu this week, especially any hanging around the gutters with any red balloons lingering around. Corey Connors is in town. Okay. Corey Connors, well, I mean, I like Corey Connors. I think we're going to wake up tomorrow. I think we're going to see he's the most popular guy, right? I think that he's going to get that same people. I'm like, oh shit, it's only 20%. I'll play Corey Connors 20%. I think that's what I'm going to do. And I think Corey Connors, that guy we're going to wake up tomorrow, he's going to be 26%. Just have a feeling in my loins. People love Corey Connors. I'm going to color him this color in honor of the balloon that he gives to all the small children. Corey Connors, that man? The man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk. That's gross. Corey Connors, you, sir, or Donkey Chalk at 20%. Look, if you think that all three of these guys, I'm not considering playing any of them, you haven't been listening to the show. I'm just telling you that based on their ownership versus the rest of the field, they are by definition Donkey Chalk. That does not mean that I'm automatically Xing all these guys out. But now let's get to the 7Ks. And we got this little guy named Adam Svensson, which this community's love affair with Adam Svensson fucking transcends me. I'll never understand it for the life of me. People are like, gotta play Adam Svensson. Why? Why do you gotta play Adam Svensson? Adam Svensson is coming in at 7,700. So he's in the 7Ks, which to me, 7K chalk is very, very different than 9K chalk, right? Because you don't have to go play that guy down in the 7Ks. You do got to kind of spend your money. So naturally, you're going to have more ownership on the 9 and 10K guys because that's who we're clicking, right? You don't have to click a guy at 7,700. So why do people love this donkey dick? I'll never understand it. I'm cutting straight to it. He's getting me fired up. Adam Svensson, if you don't know this is coming, you ain't been watching the show long enough, new guy. Adam Svensson, this man... the man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk, especially in the 7Ks when they're Adam Svensson. Polly, tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Polly. Moving on, Chris Kirk. I was so pumped when Chris Kirk won last week because I was thinking, I love him at Sony, and now nobody's going to play him because for the longest time in this industry, guys coming off of wins never get played the next week. I guess that stupid fucking narrative is finally dying, and people are realizing you can go back to good golfers and they can sometimes win 2 weeks in a row. So it breaks my heart that I am seeing Chris Kirk getting some very, very respectable ownership. You can see I have him at over 20% because I love Chris Kirk at this course. I don't think Chris Kirk has been out partying. Matter of fact, I would bet that he definitely has not been out partying if you know his background. I think he is everything I want in a golfer, and I still might play him. But regardless, I will not be hypocritical. Chris Kirk, I love you, brother, but you, sir, are. The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do it, guys. I'm sorry.
I know, you're thinking about a lot of Donkey Chalk this week. There is. It's kind of weird. It's a lot of Donkey Chalk this week, all right? All right, let's move back to Middle Earth now. You never know when the Precious is going to get lost, and you need to recover it and take down Mordor. You never know when that's going to break out, okay? So the next guy up on the list is the Hobbit himself, Brian Harman, coming in a smooth 9,900. As I told you earlier, when this course gets tougher, it makes me like Brian Harman more. When the winning score is going to be minus 12 to minus 18, those are the courses I like Brian Harman at. Brian Harman can grind his little ass off, all right? That guy is a grinder, and he can play well. So if I think this course is going to get more difficult, Brian Harman comes more appealing to me. I will say, I did not play Brian Harman last week just because I don't like him at Birdie Fest. And we had a Birdie Fest last week, and he did great. So maybe my perception on Brian Harman is slightly changing, right? Maybe the ring has given him magical powers, and he can now conquer Middle Earth all to himself. I don't know. I'm still coming up with my narrative. But what I can tell you is, Brian Harman, you're right there on the edge. But because I'm doing it anyway. Screw it, Brian Harman, you, sir.
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
Everybody's Donkey Chalk this week. Everybody is Donkey Chalk, which sucks because I like some of these guys, right? And, you know, can Ryan Harmon ride the roller coaster at the local park? Probably not. But you know what? The guy can hit a good 7-iron. That's what I need this week. This one is shocking to me. Benny Ann is coming in at nearly 19%, a guy who played great last week. I was really on, and he did great. And I was like, hey, this course this week's an even better fit for Benny Ann. And Benny Ann's another one of those guys. I don't love him to get to minus 26, but I always love Benny Ann to get to minus 16 to minus 19. And so with that, Benny Ann's like, ooh, I'm going to play me some Benny Ann. No one's going to see it coming. And now everybody sees it coming. He's going to be 19%, and he's in the 8Ks. Definitely the highest owned guys in the 8Ks, so I'm left with no choice. I'm sorry, Benny. It's everybody this week. You, sir.
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We can't do it, guy in the back. We gotta have scruples. Sit down. All right, next up, old Andrew Approachnum, all right, who, by the way, lit it up Sunday, hashtag sleepers. Check out the Rosetta Stone. Andrew Approachnum, all right, 7,500, coming in at 18%. If you think for a second that a guy that is $7,500 at 18%, literally 5-6 times the ownership of everybody around him is going to be anything other than Donkey Chalk, you, sir, need to go watch a new show because you sure as shit are not catching on to what's going on around here. Andrew Putnam is the definition of it. Sorry, Andrew. You, sir, are.
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do that. We don't do that. And then lastly, let's get to old Ludwig Iceberg, okay? He's the highest-owned guy, and I have him coming in at 17%, and I actually have him higher than other people in the industry. I've seen some people put him at like 12%. If Iceberg's 12%, my ass is all in, Bob. I think that he's going to be higher than that. Too many people are going to realize his long-term talent. He is definitively the most talented person in this field. You know, maybe Zalatoris could be higher, but we're not sure what Zalatoris is yet, right? So I'm going with Iceberg, and I am saying that he is going to be wildly under-owned versus the upside that he offers, and I don't even consider him chalk, but if you want to call him that, I just call him
Okay.
He's okay Chalk, right? Like, that's not even Chalk to me, but if that's what you want to call it, go ahead. And then lastly, if Pennywise hanging out in the gutters wasn't enough, now you got to worry about children going over small bridges. And down at 7,900, we have the troll himself coming off of a very nice week. Brennan Todd, it's 17%. I hate to say it. You're leaving me no option, Brennan. You, sir, are...
The man's Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
Hey, look at that, 400 people in here. The number one stream in PGA DFS. Once again, you'll love to see it. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it a lot. So, if people are going to be moving up and down, if people are going to see this show, now ownership is naturally going to fluctuate based on what they see here. So, I am going to guess some guys that I think are going to get steamed up tonight. Guys who are going to come in at higher ownership than I currently have them projected at, and some guys that I think are going to moonwalk, right? So, here they are. The first guy I think is going to come in a little bit higher owned tomorrow. It's going to be Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm telling you, every guy above 10K, I have under 18%, right? Which is crazy that nobody in the five figures, 10K or above, is coming in at over 20%. You never see that. And if I had to guess, of those four up there, which is the one that's most likely to get steamed up, I think it's going to be Matthew Fitzpatrick because the conditions, being windy, that'll fit his narrative, and he played pretty well. So I think Matthew Fitzpatrick is going to get steamed up by tomorrow. The next one is Denny McCarthy. I told you the 8Ks don't really have any big ownership outside of Benny Ann, but I do see a bunch of guys just right there in the low teens. And if I had to bet one of them that I think is going to get steamed up, well, I'm basically just going to go with what I know about this donkey dick community. They love Denny McCarthy, right? They love short guys in this community. Brian Harman and Denny McCarthy, right? They're just in love with him. And I think the one guy in the 8K range that could surprise us when we look at ownership tomorrow could be Denny McCarthy. If he comes in at 18, 19%, it won't shock me. Denny McCarthy is a guy that feels like he will get steamed up. And lastly, I just have a bad feeling. I have this guy currently projected at a reasonable number. Ryo Hitsasuni? I don't know how to say his name, right? I'm not fucking Japanese. Deal with it, Bob. So, here's what I can tell you. The guy's a good golfer, right? Like, he's like a legit good golfer. Like, could be the next big thing out of Japan. And I have him in a very reasonable ownership of like 5 or 6%. But I have heard enough names in this industry talking him up. And if people just happen to get on official world golf rankings and they see this guy, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to get real popular by tomorrow. If he's double digits, would not surprise me. I have a feeling he's going to get steamed up by tomorrow. But if people are moving up in ownership, that must mean some people are moving down. Who are the ones that are most likely to move down, in my opinion? I got to tell you, Russell Henley, with all these golfers around him, I think he's going to get squeezed. This isn't because people don't love Russell Henley. People love Russell Henley for whatever reason. But here's the thing. Everybody loves everybody in the 9Ks this week. And if I think all those guys are going to sustain their ownership, I feel like the guy that is most likely to get squeezed in that scenario will be the highest owned. So I project Russell Henley will probably come in closer to that 20% number, not a 24% number. Russell Henley, you are going to moonwalk backwards. On the same note, Benny Ann at 8,700, right? I think a lot of people are going to build their lineups this week, and they're going to grab three 9K guys, right? They're going to grab Harmon, Connors, and whoever, right? And when they do that, Henley, right? That'll be their three. But when you do that, that really excludes you from the 8Ks. You almost certainly got to drop down to the 7Ks to get your fourth, fifth, and sixth golfers in those lineups. And so with that, I just can't believe that people are going to be dying to get Benny Ann in there, right? Benny Ann is clearly a step below these other golfers, and you are paying a premium. $8,700 ain't cheap, Bob. All right? There's some golfers below him. I mean, Keegan Bradley is objectively, by any metric, a better golfer than Benny Ann. He's $700 cheaper, and you're going to go pay $700 more for Benny Ann. I refuse to believe that. I think we're going to see Benny Ann come in more like 12% where he should be. He will moonwalk backwards tomorrow. And then last up, this is just one I just want to believe. I can't be in a community full of this many stupid people. Andrew Putnam at whatever I have him, 16 or 18%. People are going to be like, wait, why am I playing this guy when there's dudes who are legitimately better golfers at the same price at 3% ownership? What am I doing with my life? There has to be those people out there who exist. I can't be the only one. So I think you're going to see Andrew Putnam come in probably closer to 10%. At least I hope to for your bank account. So we will see Andrew Putnam moonwalk backwards. There it is. Hey, guys, let's get over to the model. But before we do, you see that right there? That's called the solver. That is the best optimizer out there. And not only is it the best optimizer out there that helps you make the best version of your player pool, here's the most important part. My projections come in there, not only for week long, but for round one, round two, round three, and round four showdown. And you have never met somebody who does harder projections than I do. You want to know the secret to everybody's projections in this industry? They just look at how good the players are over their long term. They look at what they think the course is going to play that round, and they just take the difference. Oh, so the better players get better projections? How brave creative of you. How do you come up with such mind-blowing projections? Whereas mine actually factor in things like, you know, putting regression, ball striking regression, course conditions, weather. All of these things go into my projections to make them different. I encourage you to just look at how mine are different than others. Oh, yeah, and my ownership comes in there, because I told you, no one is a bigger tryhard when it comes to ownership, when it comes to projections, right? So if you want the solver, which is the optimizer, will do everything with you, and my projections preloaded into it, you simply just have to go right here to the Showdown Hoedown symbol, this landing page, and you can get signed up. And you want to know how much the optimizer costs just for golf? I can't afford that $100 a month stuff. $24.99. Not only does that get you the optimizer, that gets all my projections and ownership loaded in there for you. So you can spend 30 minutes right before lock building your lineups and getting good quality lineups in there that could possibly win you a GPP. I won more GPPs last year than I'd ever won in any other year of my career, and it was the first year I ever used the solver. Coincidence? Maybe. But I like to think not. All right, let's get over to the solver and let's like talk about the model, because if you don't know, like the model is life and it's pretty much like the most important thing out there, right? And some things that I'm looking at in the model. Good drives. Okay, good drives means you hit a drive and then that allows you to hit your next shot to get a green in regulation. Okay, greens in regulation are super important this week. For all of you that don't know what that term means, that just means you get on the green in two strokes under what the par is. So on a par three, you get there in one shot. On a par four, you get there in two shots. On a par five, you get there in three. Why is that important? Because if you're constantly having greens in regulation, that means you always have birdie putts, right? And birdie putts are good because that, you know, then they make birdies. And when you have birdie putts, you very rarely make bogeys unless you three jack like an asshole like me. So good drives is the most important thing I looked at this week. Of course, I looked at putting on Bermuda greens, but really, I think this is a second shot course, and almost all of those second shots are going to come in from that 125 to 200 range. So I looked at 125 to 150, 150 to 175, and 175 to 200, and you can see I weighted those all very heavily because I need second shot guys this week. Looked at birdie or better's gained. I think that you are going to need to be making some birdies this week. Even if the course is tough, I still think you're going to have to get the minus 16 to minus 18. Par 5 scoring. These are two of the easiest par 5s you'll ever see. If you don't get at least minus 2 on them every round, you are just shooting yourself straight in the dick. And lastly, I looked at short 70s and drive avoid left, right? And number one in the model, Justin Rose. What is going on? I have no idea why Justin Rose is number one in the model, which, by the way, I'm not the biggest fan of this database here. Matter of fact, there's two main database sites out there, and I think they both suck. But I might have found another one that I actually like that maybe I can roll out next week. I need to get more familiar with it, Bob. So, for this week, just looking at the model here, as I've already told you, Tigala, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, and Iceberg are all going to be, I'm telling you, all of them are probably certainly going to be under 20% owned, which you just never see, right? So if you are thinking, I'm going to skip those top four guys and just build lineups like in the 9Ks, bro, everybody's thought of that idea. Everybody's doing it. You're going to end up building lineups like everybody else. This is one of the few times we're actually playing two 10K guys together, or hell, even one 10K guy could be the answer to the test this week, right? Because you are actually going to be building a lineup different than everybody else when and if you do that. As I've already told you, the 9K range is just chalk city this week. Harmon, Connor, Cole, Henley, Kirk, Poston, all of them. All of them are probably literally the only guy in the 9Ks that's not popular is the best one out of them all. The two best players out of them all, Hideki and Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris, we still have the injuries. He came back. He played the Hero World Challenge. He looked okay for about two holes, and then he kind of went back to shit. I want to see it first, but if you are a YOLO mother father, get in there with some Will Zalatoris at 9,300, because this will be the only time you'll ever get a $9,300 Will Zalatoris at under 5% ownership. Hideki Matsuyama played last week. Didn't do good. Not a soul's going to play him. All the more reason to play him. In the 8Ks, I told you, a bunch of guys, just moderate ownership. Binny Ann is the highest, but Siwoo, Davis, McCarthy, English, Rose, Jaeger, Keegan, Adam Hadwin, all these guys are like in that low reasonable ownership, 10 to 13%. I think if you want to play any of those guys, you play them and you feel good about it, right? That's what I would be doing. I think you really want to make your stand though, or if you really want to become an advanced player, how about this? How about you just in your player pool add these top four guys, then skip down here under Binny Ann and then play these guys and just completely skip all of that disgusting 9K chalk right there. Skip it all. Maybe throw in Will Zalatoris or Decky or something, but literally skip all those guys and just build all your lineups with these top four guys who are all, in my opinion, going to be criminally under-owned versus how good of golfers they are. And then all of these guys in the 8Ks. And if you want to know a little secret, these guys in the 8Ks are basically the same golfers as the guys in the 9Ks, right? You're never going to convince me that Chris Kirk is not night and day better than Denny McCarthy or Justin Rose or, hell, even Ropat Harris English, right? Same guy. You're the same guy, pal. You're not that guy. Getting into the 7Ks, as I've already told you, there's really only three big pieces of chalk, and it's all from the upper 7Ks. Brendan Todd, off of a good week last week, makes a lot of sense at a course like this, but he is going to be popular. Adam Svensson, the model, loves him, and apparently so does this community. He's going to be wildly popular. And, of course, Andrew approached him, who does look good in the model. So you got to play him because he, like, looks good in the model. And never once has somebody who looks good in the model ever done bad. I will tell you, Lukey Gloves looks pretty good in the model if you're a Lucas Glover guy, right? There you go. Bust out the cheater putter. No one's playing Cheesesteak Hoagie. No one's playing Luke List. Aaron Rye, JJ Spong, Keith Mitchell, just Pivot City. And then once you get below Putnam, literally, I mean literally everybody's a pivot down there outside of, I think, Nick Taylor may get to like 7 to 9% ownership. But outside of that, once you get below 7,500, everybody's a punt. It's free ownership down there. So no matter who you want to play down here, Billy Horschel, Emiliano Grillo, none of these guys are going to have any ownership tomorrow, right? If you want to play as the French man, even though I think I am from Belgium, I am going to do the French accent because that is what I do. I lose world wars and I make birdies. That is what I do. He's from Belgium. Just roll with it. Let's see. You got Bjork over from the Euro Tour. I already told you about old Rio Hisatsuni. Whatever, man. You know his name. You can see it right there. I got him hearted, right? And then just no one wants to get into the 6K range, right? And there's real golfers down here in the 6Ks, right? Like Ben Coles is a real golfer. Seamus Power is a real golfer. Bob McIntyre is a real golfer. Doug Gim is a real golfer. Grayson Sig is a real golfer. Ryan Moore in the swing season, if you didn't see, that motherfather was playing some golf. And he's number 12 in the model. Maybe it's time to get some more Ryan Moore in your life, if you know what I mean. The point being is there are real golfers down here who are really low-owned. Hell, even Hayden Buckley's played here twice. I don't get why Hayden Buckley's good at this course. He literally is just terrible at everything I want him to be good at. Like, he's like dead last in a lot of important stuff, right? But for whatever reason, he's played well here. But still, even with that, I think he's going to be like 3% owned at most. Alejandro Tosti can get a little toasty, if you know what I mean. The Commissioner Gordon down here. I mean, there's like real golfers down here. Hell, you can even get down to like 6,200. I think Carson Young and Pearson Cootie are real golfers. I think it's a little early for Pearson Cootie. Justin Lower, these are real golfers, right? So the fact that nobody wants to dive it down into the 6Ks, I'm going to probably set a rule on my lineups that every single one of my lineups will have to contain at least two guys from $7,400 and below. And why am I going to do that? Because if I do that, I basically have already made my lineup so much different than everybody else. It doesn't matter who the first four guys in my lineup are. I could go play four donkey dick chalk guys at 9,000, but because I am saving the last two spots of my lineup for guys $7,400 or cheaper, my lineup is going to be dramatically different because those two guys are going to be so low owned relative to the rest of the field. So that is a way that you can build your lineup the way you want. If you're in love with that 9K range and you want to stack three or four of them, it's your world, brother. Do whatever you want. But just remember that you're probably going to want to have at least two or three punts slash sleepers in there to offset that, right? So there you go. That is the rundown of the model. That is the rundown of the field, which brings us to the highlight of the show. Some people have said the one guy I am definitely not playing I went back and forth on this one. I was going to go with the guy in the 9Ks, but honestly, 9K chalk isn't near as gross as 7K. So now when you get down to the 7Ks, I'm basically left with three guys. I kind of like Brennan Todd. You know, I don't have any small children, so I'm not worried about him hanging out under bridges. That doesn't concern me. And so now I'm down to two guys. And I'm back and forth. I could go either way, but I think that the right answer is the one guy I'm definitely not playing this week is a dude who is probably overpriced. He should probably be about $7,100 in this field. He's overpriced. He had one good round Sunday, so now everybody's convinced that he's the second coming of Tiger Woods, and they're going to go play him at like 18 or 19%, which is just hilarious because he had one good round. You go play him. I'll set the fuck out. The one guy I'm definitely not playing this week, not a chance in hell am I playing Andrew Putnam.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here with Andrew Putnam. But that brings me to the more important question. Who is the one guy I'm definitely playing this week, right? The one guy I'm definitely playing this week is a guy that I had already identified as the dude I wanted to play. And then when I saw he had just like the most immaculate course history ever, I was like, okay, I'm in. It's a guy who I still think has a little bit of fuel left in the tank. It is a guy who played last week, and I want guys who played last week. Some of these guys might have not picked up a club for the last 3 months. I need to know that my guy, whether he played well or not, I need to know that he at least played competitive golf recently. This guy played competitive golf. This guy really seemed to knock off some roughs towards the end of the tournament. This is a guy that I am always warm on whenever people are underplaying him, and I think that he is still probably a top 10 golfer in this field when you do talent. But most of all, the one guy I'm playing this week, well, I mean, the model loves him. So I got to go with the model because, you know, like the model's life. So we are going to go straight to the video of the guy we're playing this week. And the editor wouldn't tell me who it was. All he would tell me is titties. I'm like, what does that mean? So let's see. It looks like, what is this, Titanic? What do we got here? What do we got? That's Ron.
That's nice.
Oh, shit, what is that, a gold medal?
Jack, I wanted you to draw me like one of your French girls.
Rose is the mystery person.
Wearing this.
All right.
wearing only this.
Oh shit! Mystery Man's saucy! Wants to be drawn in only a gold medal. Let's see what old Ron's got. Let's see if Ron can draw it up. See the skills. Not gonna lie, Ron looks a little nervous.
Stay still.
Oh, titties! There it was! You can't really see it. Calm down. This is a kid's show, okay? Let's see if Ron's got anything here.
Serious.
What do we got? Yeah, I mean, he looks a little nervous. I can't tell if it's the titties or the gold medal, but he looks a little nervous. Can't wait to see who this is. Who is he drawing here? Okay, RB. Justin Rose is who he was drawing. That's who, the gold medal. He wanted to be drawn. Oh my God, they're so cute. I guess I'm left with no choice. Me and Justin Rose, we're going partying this week. We're gonna go hard. We're riding him all the way to the end. The one guy we are definitely playing this week, and we're not looking back. We're playing Justin Rose, you motherfucker. Justin Rose, let's go. We're gonna go dancing in third class, but he's probably gonna die tonight. Wait, no, I'm the one that dies in this analogy. Okay, hey, that's it. Let's get to the giveaways now. But before we do, come check out my site, dgen75.com. There is something special going on over there. I'm not sure what happened. Like, if somebody, like, I got, you know, like some influencer got paid, because there's been like a bajillion people sign up, and I think it's this simple. You go to my site, you scroll down here, and you say, wow, this guy's a real hardcore dude that's going to give me better content than everywhere else. Surely he charges like $100 a month like all these other slapdick tout sites. No, he doesn't. You want all my golf stuff. That includes all my showdown stuff, the behind the paywall content, everything. $34.99 a month. And trust me, look at me, new guy. You want to lock in that price. Big things are coming. Or if you want to get all access, everything I do, you can get it for $54.99. Trust me, you're going to want to lock that in too. Not only do you get me doing all my behind the paywall content, you get the best tool in all of PGA DFS called the Rosetta Stone. I do this for week long, which we're doing right now, round 2, round 3, and round 4 showdown. I am telling you, you don't know how awesome this is. If that looks intimidating to you, I have videos breaking it down. After 2 weeks, you'll be like, this is my life, and I love this thing. I'm like, you're right, brother. You are right. Big shout out to all my winners. Just casually had guys hit 100,000, 30,000, 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, 2,000, 1,500, 7,500, 1,500, 1,000, 600, 500. I mean, look, I don't care about the amount. I care about all those first places and all those mother fathers flying the flag. We have a special community over here. We celebrate all types of victories. We're all in it together. It's all about our process. It's not about DJs, picks, and plays and all that stupid shit. All right, with that in mind, I see 259 likes. We're going to be giving away 2 tickets. But first, I am going to be giving away 2 one-and-done tickets, right? I'm going to do 1 from this wheel and then 1 from the chat, and I'm going to do 1 backup. If you do not reach out to me by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, I'm going to give it to your backup. Because we got to lock in a pick tomorrow. The one and done starts tomorrow. So this is for a $200 Pat Mayo Experience One and Done Listener League that me and you will split 50-50. I've already bought it. You simply reach out to me tonight. This is from everybody who liked and retweeted over on Twitter. I appreciate you. And our winner is Sir Ireland. There it is. I know that guy. Editor from the chat over here, go ahead and pick me one. This is for a $200 one and done. I have 2 of them. Sir Ireland won 1, and now we're going to do another one over here. By the way, while the editor is doing it in the chat, I'm going to go ahead and spin for my backup. Backup, if either of these 2 winners don't reach out to me, you get their ticket, you mother father. All right? So our winner is, this is for the backup. The editor is doing the other real drawing. Jernigan? Oh, Ike Jernigan. I know that guy. All right, the winner from the chat is Steve Robbins. Steve Robbins, you win a $200 entry into the one and done. If you do not reach out to me by 10 a.m. tomorrow, whether it's through the Discord or it is through Twitter, I'm giving your fucking ticket away. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, okay? Ike, you are the backup. If either one of them don't reach out to me, be on standby on Twitter and reach out to me, and I'll give the ticket to you, brother. All right, editor, go ahead and draw me 3 names also, 2 to build a ticket with me, and 1 for the fuck counter, because I've been cussing like a sailor tonight. While he does that, don't let me forget to tell you guys, we are less than a month away from the Waste Management Meetup. Me and my entire team, Shipit, Hoop, and Tambo, and their whole team are going to be there, and we're going to have a big meetup. We're going to go to the course. We're going to go out there. We're going to have a Super Bowl party. We're going to go to the casino. We're going to make a whole 4 days out of it. So if you can butter up your wife now, get there. Here's our winners. James Romanowski, reach out to me. We're building the ticket together, you mother father. Frankie Ortiz, reach out to me, you mother father. And Brian Asbell, send me a 1v1 competition, just like this guy right here. Just like this guy right here. And we are going to play for all the money in the fuck counter, which appears to be, we'll call it $30, okay? So there you go, guys. Let's get to some Q&A. If we get up to 300 likes, I will drop another drawing. But in the meantime, let me get back over to the model, because the model is life. Let me start answering questions. Reach out to me now, all you winners. That's a big giveaway. I really want to do that one and done, and I want to split it with you guys. So don't slow play me, or I'll just give it to somebody in my Discord. Ooh, I see some super chats. What do we got here? Ronnie Lee, best info in the industry. Ronnie Lee, you're the best fan in the industry, you mother father. Thank you for the super chat. Scrolling back through, what do I see going on here? Zach Amu, oh yeah, last week's champion. That's right, number one. Hey, you got there, big guy. Congratulations. Mike Curtis, $2. For the guy in the back. Guy in the back, you, sir, are getting a Twinkie tonight. Oh, he's pumped, Mike. He is pumped. Yeah, he's real pumped. He appreciates that. Hey, big guy, what's your ownership cutoff as per salary? Other work, 7K, 20% bad, 10K. Yeah, so at 10K, it usually the magical number is 30%, right? Anytime it gets over 30%, I really have a hard time playing him, Nick, right? But it's also relative, right? If everybody is 25% and one guy's 30 and I love that guy at 30, I'm still going to play him, right? But if Iceberg were 30% this week and everybody else were 15%, not a chance in hell I'd play him. I just play the game, right? But with, I think, all of those guys being low-owned, I don't think we even have to really worry about that this week, Nick, okay? Getting over here to the chat. Going to answer your questions. Make sure you hit the like. Big guy sweating like a whore in church. Let me get a swig of the, what am I drinking here? Sparkling water. Shit smacks. All right, let's see. If there's not a question mark, I'm skipping it. Do we need a comment to be in the drawing? That's right, Lone Star Randy. Looks like you figured it out. Is it the Lord Time Zone Golf? No, the Lord Time Zone Golf is going to be like noon tomorrow. You love to see it. Do you give more weight to the low 7Ks and 6Ks guys that played last week? I do, Mike. I really do. That's like a big tiebreaker. Like a guy like Seamus Power played like donkey dick last week. But because he played, I'm still more open to playing him than I would other guys. The Viking Nomad. Billy Ho creeping up some clutch Bermuda putt Sundays? I mean, look, Billy Ho actually was playing sneaky well over on the DP World Tour. He did miss the last cut he played, but Billy Ho, if you think, once again, another one of those guys, if you think the winning score is going to be minus 16 to minus 18, those are the kind of tournaments I like Billy Ho at. If you think it's going to be minus 22 to minus 24, Billy Ho is out, in my opinion. Want to build a lineup with me? I sure do. Big guy, shoot me a DM. We'll get it done over on the Discord. Thoughts on Hideki? If nobody wants to play him, I think I'm going to play him. At least we know he played last week, right? How did Glover go minus 7 putting and not finish DFL? Because his ball striking was badass. I mean, look, he's going to get the cheater putter working again. Don't you worry about that, okay? To cash small, less than 100 GBP is four past the cut, going to make it in most cases. To cash a small, less than 100 GBP is four past... Oh, well, I mean, if you have the winner, it can be. Gary Woodland, feel good comeback story. I don't hate it, Bob. I don't hate it, but it's kind of like Will Zalatoris. I want to wait to see it first, right? Did you make your lineup yet? Only if you're a donkey dick. Did you even think the good weather round one finishes tomorrow? Yeah, I mean, the newest projections don't seem like the rain's going to come in, and they're not going to delay it because of 30-mile-an-hour gust. Can JT Poston put two tourneys together? That's a big ask. It's a big ask. I love JT Poston, but not when he's chalky. Is fading the 9K asking for pain? Probably. I think the key is you don't fade them all. Probably just strategically fade some of them. Try to get the right guys and hope you pick the right ones and you fade the right ones. It's not the size of the putter that counts. It's how many strokes you take. Can Corey Connors get his shit together this week? Well, everybody in the community is playing him, and donkey dicks always get there, so probably. On a course with such sticky course history, do you prefer the newcomers or someone who has played it more? Oh, I definitely like guys who've played this course before, for sure. For sure. Even if they don't have great course history, I want to see they've played it before. Would you consider another weather edge than windy playing more bogey avoidance guys than new caught guys? Yeah, if it's going to be windy, I do like grinders more, for sure. That's why I keep saying guys like Matthew Fitzpatrick and Brian Harman. Those are not, and even Brennan Todd for that matter. Those are not nuclear hot guys, but those are guys who can go grind their balls for you. What are your thoughts on DP boy Bjork? I'm pretty warm on him. I don't know about ACDC. I don't know him that well, but I know Bjork's game, and I know that I think it fits. Mr. Bukowski, do you equate top finishes on Korn Ferry with top finishes on the Japan Tour? I think that's about right. Yep. Can Kuchar be a sneaky play? Yeah, I think Kuchar. Kuchar makes a lot of sense here. I honestly thought he was going to be Donkey Chuck. I was kind of surprised he wasn't. How's the big guy feeling? First full field. Fucking excited, Bob. Excited. Forgot to... All right, moving on. Seems like last year, lots of high-salary guys missed the cut. This year, everyone on the top four guys would start off 2K. Yeah, if you start out with two 10K guys, Jerry Matt, you are already dramatically different than everybody else. You're building a lineup no one else is building. Is Hatton in a good spot this week? I mean, dude, I don't know what to make of that guy. I'm really starting to realize that Tyrrell Hatton is just a new caught guy, and he cannot put four rounds together. So as soon as I say that, he'll kill it. But he just always strikes me as a guy that puts two and a half rounds together, never puts four together. Lucas Glover, a poach too good to ignore? Probably. I mean, if this is a second shot course, and I care more about approach more than anything, why would I not want to play old Lukey Gloves? What target player pool for 20 players? I like to be between 14 and 16. Can we go back to Cheesesteak Hoagie? Sure. Once again, if it's a second shot course, the one thing Tom Hoagie does well is hit second shots, right? When you go look at old Cheesesteak Hoagie right here, look, I mean, he's top 34 in all three of those proximity ranges I looked at, right? Is there a specific skill set you're leaning on this week? Yes, guys who hit second shots well and who get lots of greens in regulation. You don't want to be scrambling your balls off around here. Benet says, Cam Davis, perfect bounce back setup. Don't hate it. What golfer in the 9Ks are you fading? I don't do that shit. Who is your favorite sub 5% play this week? I don't do that shit. Chalk served decently last week. Way smarter to fade more chalk this week than there's more golfers to choose from? Yeah, I think so. There is a lot more golfers, so why are you going to be so married to chalk, right? Yeah, I think there's something there. What do you think of Rose? Well, seeing he's the one guy I'm playing, I'm pretty warm to him. Which broomstick wins this week, and why is it Willie Z? If it's Willie Z, I'd be shocked. But, I mean, if you want to go with him, go with him, right? Who has a... I don't know. Batia has that cheater putter. That'd be so funny if he comes back and wins after he screwed everybody last week. Put it in my veins. In PGA, do you prefer a 20 max or a 3 max? Really just depends on the structure of the contest. But typically speaking, I do like to build 20 or more lineups. I never really like to just build 3. Is it viable to just mostly ignore the high 9K guys and play 8K range? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think you're going to certainly want to mix some of those top end guys with them too. The guys that are 10K and above. Lift clean in place. If there's rain, they'll almost certainly be playing lift clean in place, which will help the scoring a ton, right? If you guys don't know, lift clean in place is whenever the course gets wet, sometimes the ball will embed. So the golfers, anytime they're in the fairway, can pick it up and give themselves a new lie and can have really nice lies every time, or what I do every time I play golf. Why do Canadians do well in Hawaii? I don't know. Canadians are good golfers. Pick top 10 in odds, lowest own for one and done. I don't know. I haven't looked at one and done ownership. How are you feeling about Nick Taylor? Love him. Is Hayden Buckley's course history just noise? I think it's noise because he doesn't make a lick of sense to me, Zach. I just don't get why he is a good course fit here. He just makes no sense. But sometimes guys play well at courses that they just don't make sense at, right? AM Wave for round one showdown. Probably, but man, I want to see a full day. I'm not trying to guess tomorrow. I'll play round two showdown. That's where I'm at. Thoughts on Benny Ann? I liked him until I saw that ownership. Do you like Tigala this week? Yeah. Why is everybody so anti-Tigala? Because he had a rough 18th hole. The guy played like a champion last week, right? And, I, you know, as long as he doesn't hit any balls OB, I think he's going to be fine. Let's see. Thank you for the content. Took down the $1 20 max last week for 1K. Hell yeah, Tyler. Wait, you better be on my freaking collage. You on my collage, Tyreek? Well, you didn't send it over, did you? You didn't send it over, you donkey. What a donkey. That would have looked so good on here. A little first place $1,000. How dare you, Tyler? How dare you? All right, Luke says, is it more balanced to build this week or with no top guys? That will be the most common build. Yep. Can Patrick Rogers contend this week or is he too big of a loser? Typically speaking, he's always too big of a loser. But I will say, hardly anybody's playing him. Pick me for helping you play Mayo's one and done. The question is, you want to win. Joanne, if I could pick one person, I would pick you. But that wouldn't be fair to everybody else. I had to do a drawing. Hawaii looking a lot like Middle Earth. Can the Hobbit save us? Look, the Hobbit was the first guy. Him and Matthew Fitzpatrick were the first two guys I thought of this week. And I guess Corey Connors, if it's going to be kind of a windy, tougher condition, right? Those are the first three guys I thought of. But Harmon and Connors are donkey jock. Do you have an ETA on when you're adding profile picture grade to the stone? When you're adding the profile picture grade to the stone, I don't even know what that means, Michael, but no, I do not. Weather looking like it's going to be around all weekend. Yeah, so if you go look at the weather, it's, you know, we'll look at NAM. It's better for further out projections. You can see Saturday a little gusty and, Saturday a little gusty, but Sunday looks beautiful. So, I think they will get after the course a bit more this weekend. That would be my guess, Bob. Is this a studs and duds kind of week? I mean, I think so. There's some guys in the 6Ks I don't mind playing. Should I have at least one name that you can't pronounce to optimize my lineup? Oh, for sure. Every one of my lineups, I will set that in the solver that every lineup must have at least one guy's name I can't pronounce. Do you give any players from last week a slight advantage? I give them a big advantage because I know what they're up to. Whether they played well or not, at least I know they played. PGA newbie this year, do you factor in betting odds to your process? Yes, I do. When you go look over at the Rosetta Stone and stuff, a lot of these things that are in here, like win equity, top 20 equity, made cut, a lot of that is being derived from odds, and that can really help us determine who can be the better plays and get done the things that we want to get done, if that makes sense. Let's see. Razor Sharp, how do you feel about guys who didn't play last week? I mean, I would have rather them play, but I don't think I'm canceling them off just because they didn't. New guy, which price range is the lowest owned to target and to be overweight to? I think the 8Ks is probably going to be the range where you can get. I take that back. Anything over 10K. Let's see. Nick Devour eats it all up. What rules do you set in the solver when building your lineups? It's usually about, like, I'll make sure, if I have, like, three chalky guys in my pool, I'll set a rule that says never can you have more than two of these three guys, something like that, right? Or if I have a bunch of punts in there and I don't want to play 2 1% owned punts together, I'll say at most one of these two guys. Stuff like that is what I set in there. Also, I kind of cap my salary cap, and I don't let it go too low, too. Change my variance. What's there to do in Oklahoma? Nothing. Why do you think I'm here on a Wednesday night so fucking pumped about PGA DFS, Bob? Because there ain't shit to do here. That's why. Moving on, Tigala's odds have cratered. Does that make him less appealing because he's now overpriced or because his ownership is dropping big time? I don't know what's going on with Tigala. I feel like somebody knows something I don't know. I don't get why nobody's playing him. I've heard nothing to concern me, but I'm going to go snoop around tonight. That I can tell you. Speaking of snoop, snoop-a-loop, is Iceberg a good one-and-done play? Absolutely. Absolutely, because he's going to be low-owned. People are not going to faith him. Whatever. I'll go play a low-owned best player in the field. What's the one key stat you'll weigh more this week? Good drives and those approaches from those buckets that I already talked about. Any strategy for mixing cash with GPP lineups? I'm just not a cash guy at week long unless there's just an obvious weather edge, which I don't see this week. I'm just not that guy. Would you play Corn Fairy, guys? I think there's better places to get it in, right? A one-and-done strategy process tip. I think that you always want to try to play good golfers who are going to be low-owned. So Iceberg, Hatton, Fitz, and Tigala, all off the top of my mind, all seem like really good plays this week because I think they're going to be very low-owned. Let's celebrate their first super on stream. Oh, that's cute. All right. How would you be doing a showdown? How would you be doing showdown shows from Waste Management? I don't know how we're going to do that. I need to talk that over with the team. Thoughts on Kirk potentially going back to back? That was my favorite narrative, Chase, until I saw everybody else apparently has the same idea. Now I don't love it as much. Is PGA 2024 here or am I dreaming? Oh, it's here, Dice. And can't you tell, big guy's sweaty and excited. If I was to play showdown cash this week, do you recommend smaller field contests, 11 to 23, or larger ones? Typically speaking, when there's an obvious weather edge, I like to play the bigger fields because more dumbasses will be in those. Whenever there's less of an obvious weather edge, I like to play the smaller ones because the rake is lower, right? So the answer is kind of complicated, right? Andrew Yee, when talking about wins and studs, and you're referring to studs in terms of actually ability and studs or relation to the rest of the field. Yeah, I mean, to me, the studs are just based on their price tag, right? So a stud to me would basically be anybody 9K or higher in this field, right? In very small fields, I find that I'm not chalky enough. What's a good rule to get some of these in very small fields, I find I'm not chalky enough. What's some good rule of thumb these sizes of contest? I mean, first of all, don't go Xing out every single chalky guy. If you like some chalky guys, don't kick them out of your player pool simply just because they're chalky, right? That would be what I would tell you. Can Donkey Chalk please be punished this week? I sure hope so. Is it looking like round 2 AM, Bob? I mean, that's tough to tell. I'll be doing a whole show on it tomorrow, Thomas. You're a member, I'm pretty sure. So just come watch the video tomorrow. I'll have everything you need with the weather. Iceberg, good enough to fight the wind tomorrow? Yeah, look, he's the best player in the field, right? I know this isn't like a great spot for him, but like if nobody wants to play him, whatever, I'll play him for you. Play players in better slots, even costing the way of the spicier weather. I mean, I would still lean weather in that situation, but the key is to find guys you like that are low-owned in the good weather. Has DJ's notes document been released? It is not. It has taken forever. We're trying to get it out within a week, but God, that is a monstrosity. Who are the guy you're definitely playing in single entry? Already went over it. Who would you find tomorrow morning to get the final weather report? Would you build tomorrow? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I already said that. Yep. Thoughts on Tigala back-to-back blockbuster outings? I love Tigala. I'm a Tigala slut, so it doesn't take a lot for me to sell you on this. If I'm playing multiple 3-max, would you run 2 or 3 different player pools? No, I would keep a really tight player pool, and I would probably go 5 guys in at least 2 of those lineups, or I'd probably lock in 3 guys to all of them. That's what I'd do. Brian says, what do you like to cap your ownership at in full-filled events? For minimum, I'll never have a guy in my player pool I don't get in at least 8 to 10% of my lineups. And on the higher end, sometimes I'll go 100% on guys. But typically, if I'm not in love with a guy, I usually cap them at 50 or 60%. And that's only for about 3 or 4 guys. Is there enough win equity in the 8K range to build with all the guys in that range? Ooh, that's tough. I don't love a lot of these guys in this range to win, except for Justin Rose and his gold medal being drawn naked by Ron. Who's the chalkiest you might play? I don't know. I'm not even committing. I haven't even made my player pool. I'm going to wait for the updated weather. Let's see. If the PGA were to host an event in Oklahoma, what would you want them to play? I mean, they played at Southern Hills for the PGA Championship a couple years ago. That was cool. That was literally like the week after I started my channel. What do you know about this Sami Välimäki? He's a European Tour player who can grind his balls off. If you think this course is going to be tough, he might be a guy for you. He's a dude I don't mind playing at things like Open Championships and stuff like that. Is it worth making lineups tonight or should we wait for updated weather? I'm waiting for updated weather, but if you want to start building your player pool and then just be willing to adjust it once you see the new weather, that might be the answer too. Jordan says, the perfect lineup last week left damn near 3K on the table. Yeah, but no one was ever going to build that. You got to know the difference between an optimal lineup and a practical optimal, right? Like, no one's ever going to leave $3,000 on the table and hit a nutted lineup. Let's see. Favorite tournament of the year? Non-major, it would be the Genesis, which is only like a month away. What is your process for picking a golfer for one and done? I've already went over that. Based on the chalk, it seems like you don't have to pivot as much this week, right? I would agree with that. There's not a lot of like really, really bad chalk this week. You know, when the second highest owned guy is like 20%, that's really not that crazy. Is your ownership projection based on large? Yeah, that's based on the large field. If you want to know a good rule, Frankie, take whatever I have on my ownership, multiply it by about 20 to 25%, and that's what it will be in single entry and in the more expensive stuff. So a guy that's 20%, he'll basically be 24 or 25% in higher owned single or in higher dollar single entries. Is Corey Connors part of the family, the Hills Have Eyes? I don't think you're wrong, bub. If you're playing this balanced build and not build anyone under 7K to get different, yeah, you could. I don't know. I want to have some of those guys with the win equity up top. Brett says, how long should my player's putter be on a scale of Hubbard to Broomstick? Well, definitely longer than short putter Mark Hubbard, but I also hate the cheater putter guy, so that's a tough one. Somewhere in the middle, I guess. Day number one, DGM fanboy here. How we loving your boy? Love the big guy. I mean, look, no one wants to play. I'll play him for you, Bob. That's how I feel about him. I wasn't in love with him. No one wants to play him. I'll play him. I see us almost getting up to 300 likes over there, up to 290. How close are weekly ownership projections to actual? We measure it every week. My consistent R squared is around 94%, and I think last week I only had one guy that was above 5% off, and only three guys that were, or no, maybe about six guys that were over 3% off. Did you hear about Nick Saban? Yeah, that shit's crazy. What's considered donkey chalk in the 6Ks? Probably anything over 5%, I start to get a little concerned. Anything over 10% is disgusting. If everybody is donkey chalk, is anybody donkey chalk? Well, you got to remember there's 144 people in this field, sir. Who is the one guy I must play? I think that you probably are going to want to find other streams to get those answered. Good max product ownership for single entry. You know, I always like the smaller the number, the better, but not crazy. You know, you can have a couple chalky guys in there. I don't know much about him, Kettier. Zach, we smashed in the low 7K range. There's some guys I like there. Right? I put some of them in my sleepers video today. There's some guys there I'm going to get down with. Is Iceberg now Moses? He parted the Red Sea of Donkey Chalk? I mean, I don't hate that. That's a narrative I can get behind. All right, if Donkey Chalk is in the AMPM wave, are you more willing to use them? So if I think there's going to be a wave edge, I am more willing to play a Donkey Chalk guy if they're in that wave. Yes, that's a really good question, DePalma. Is Willie Z completely healthy? No, I do not think he's completely healthy. And even if, okay, he might be completely healthy, but I don't think he's completely back, right? I think he still has some rust on him. That would be my guess, but it's nothing more than conjecture. Part 5 scoring was my note last year. Thoughts on using Locke, Tyrrell Hatton in 66 lineups? I mean, it's bold as shit. I'll tell you that. Let's see. Once again, thank you for the super chat, Ronnie. Let's see. Is this an old man course? I like a lot of old guys. When I was looking through my sleepers today, I was marking a lot of old guys, Brent. Brother from another, any favorite first-round leaders? Nope. Any thoughts on two gloves, Aaron Rye? I mean, if the weather gets bad, huge advantage to have two gloves. Am I right, Benet? You got to go for every angle you can. I'm a Jaeger slut, but why is he coming in so low-owned? I think it's literally just all that he's just viewed as these guys around him are better. I mean, Keegan Bradley, Adam Hadwin, Justin Rose are objectively better golfers than him, and people like to play better golfers. Do you have any underdog content? Yes, I'm going to be putting out a Rosetta Stone for that season long. I already see other people trying to copy my Rosetta Stone. Whatever you got to do, you fucking charlatans. Moving on. Cody, thoughts on Griot this week? I think I'm in. I like that he played last week. I don't care that he kind of spun his wheels the last three rounds. I just like that he played last week. All right. Oh, shit. Big jump in the chat there. Don't forget to go fill up my contest. Oh, shit. Christian Smith. Oh, all right. Our winner, Sir Erlandor Yeshichim. Where's the ranch water? No ranch water. Billy, I already told you this. Billy is one of the guys that's going to the waste management with me. I am saving my liver until the waste management. No drinks until then. I got to be super buff and super not fat, and ranch water does not help either of those things. Plus, Billy, I'm like a gym bro and stuff, okay? Like, the gym is my life, and I don't have time for that, like, toxic alcohol in this high-performance machine, all right? I don't really talk like that. I mean, maybe I do. Maybe this is my fake voice and that's my real voice. You ever thought about that? Has the big guy ever been training on the Sprint Stadium hole on the waste management? No, I have not. That'll be my first time there. Any thoughts on Matt Wallace? I'm out. I mean, I do like him to grind, but like, I don't know. I didn't like how he moonwalked his ass backwards last week. Anyone likely to boat race this thing? I think there's a few guys. If this becomes a birdie fest, you're going to tell me Ludwig can't go boat race this or Eric Cole can't go boat race this. They definitely could. Let's see. Oh, Softy saying only 45 spots left in the $10 18 max. Thanks for putting that out there. Carson Young, I think he's underpriced, Renzo, but there's just other guys I like. But he is underpriced. I think he should be probably more like 6,600, 6,700. Hey, new here. Show up to the Super Informative and Hilarious. Hey, BWin33, thanks for being here. Can't wait to see you again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Lord's time zone. Who's your favorite KFT player this week? I don't know. Let me go just pick one. Jake, I need a nap. Let's see. When's your prop product rolling out? To be determined. Got some big things going on. Solver projections lock in 30 minutes before the contest starts. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Not that I know. I don't even know what that means, Rick. I'm sorry. After winter blast. Okay. So, guys, I think that is it. Thank you all so much for being here. I appreciate every single one of you giving up your time every Wednesday night to be here live and to continue to make this the most popular stream in PGA DFS, hitting the like, hitting the notifications, telling your friends, subscribing, continuing to grow the channel. I could not do it without every single one of you. I appreciate you so much, and I want you guys to please always remember rule 3080. Expensive tout sites are shady. Stay the fuck away from them. I want to go out as the number one stream again, so let's hit a little victory lap. Put it on. I'm so high. I'm so high.